There's a thousand pretty women living out there. They're all living, the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So here
thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with a Dish. I'm John Katsalamidis. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly. I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group, and I also write for Vegas Magazine. Check out our cover story on Imagine Dragons, a very popular pop combo out of Las Vegas. Joining me is my Imagine Dragon. That means Trish McCrone. Trish,
I like it.
Breathe some fire, will you, baby?
Happy belated birthday. You turned a year older on Sunday.
I did, man.
Yes, and
I'm closing in on the big one.
You are. You're getting
a
very
big
close.
One. Yeah.
So much closer than
1 year
I am.
Away.
Let's just say that.
From the big 05.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Wow, that's right.
Uh-huh.
I've got at least 12 years to go before I get there.
the distance gets greater as I get older.
you seem to age, and yet I never do. And
we used to be almost the same age. What the hell?
I know, exactly. Every time. No, we were never. Let's retract that.
At one point, we were almost the same
age. We were not.
Early on.
Never.
Disharita.
Never.
In 1999, we were close to the same age.
I don't think so. But anyways, for everybody listening right now, tomorrow, you are taking part in St. Baldrick's.
St. Baldrick's, yeah.
Yes, the first, year one, I shaved your head.
You shaved my head.
Yes.
That was a time when I was very much looking forward to it. It was a great thing. I enjoyed it a great deal. The second year, last year, I said, I'll do it, but we have to have, we need to get somebody of huge fame.
Thanks.
Not just me. No, not just us. Me and Dish. We need somebody.
Obviously, I wasn't very good at it year one.
You were great at it.
Away.
I liked the first year shave the best, actually.
You.
That looked the best of them. But we wanted to get, we're using Variety, and this was a day when there's a whole bunch
it's
of
It's all
celebrities.
For charity.
It
we're is. Just giving it.
So,
giving
yeah. Up. And so I said, you know, well, if you can suggest or get somebody of you know, that is a, we'll get People magazine coverage, then I'll do it. And Holly Madison was gracious enough and had a great deal of zeal, I remember, last year to do this. So she shaved me last year. And then this year.
This year, I have to say, and that this is the best one.
This is the best one. It's
yes.
And it will be the best one, too.
Yes.
And I wasn't going to do it again. I was going to, you know, offer to do anything. MC, write about it, promote it any way they wanted. And I said, but I started working on a story about a little boy by the name of Elan Sala, who's the son of Sammy and Leslie Sala. And Sammy's a multi-instrumentalist and acrobat in Ka at MGM Grand. And I met Sammy. Anyway, it was one of the nights at Composer Showcase. He plays an instrument that resembles a steel drum that's flipped upside down and has a variety of notes that you can hit. And I can't remember the name of it right now, but he's also a terrific guitarist and percussionist and acrobat in Ka. And he told me about his son, who has suffered from immune system disorders since he was 6 months old. He has just turned 4, Elan, and he goes through terrifying treatments at the Nevada Childhood Cancer Treatment Center across from Sunrise Medical Center that is funded in large part by St. Baldrick's money.
There you go.
There you go. So when I heard that, I asked Sammy, I said, would they want me to shave my head? Do you think Elan would be willing to? And before I could get willing to out of my mouth, he goes, he would love that. It's a French family. Sammy and his wife are from suburbs of Paris originally. Very heavy French. He would love that.
So, oui, oui.
Here we go. Yeah, tomorrow at noon at New York's Brooklyn Bridge.
And also check at Johnny Katz on your Twitter page, because he sang you happy birthday.
Yeah, on Sunday.
Which was so cute. He goes, happy birthday, John. That's what you call John.
I got to repost that because he says at the end of it, we're shaving your head tomorrow.
Yeah.
It was last week. Everything's tomorrow with the head shaving.
Oh, my God. It's
but they
so
did,
cute.
They raised a whole bunch of money at Laura Kyle, the gymnastics center on the west side, where that is a fundraiser for the clinic itself. And Elan was there at that. So he's a terrific
it's gonna
little
be,
boy.
It's adorable. And this year, it's my favorite to watch.
StBaldricks.org is the
and
site.
And it's great that you're doing this 3 years in a row. It really is.
You know, I don't like it. I
but
don't like it
the
one
matter
bit.
Is how
I hate
much
how I look,
you are the only
I love what it means.
Guy who I know who hair comes back even thicker, I think, every time.
You know, I don't know. It seems different. I think I can honestly say that my hair is not as thick as it used to be. But
you got a lot of hair.
But it's still, like, it's unruly right now, but I've been growing it out for effect.
There you go. It looks nice.
I think
I handed yours in a baggie to you.
I have a bag of my hair from you.
I kept it, and I put it in a bag, and I gave it to you as a birthday present.
If we really ever hit it big, we'll auction that off.
There you go.
Locks of Love. That'll be the
other
one.
There you go.
Anyway, we have got to get to our guest.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
He is a longtime Las Vegas vocal impressionist who dates all the way back to the mid-70s. He had a show at the Dunes called it was the Top of the Dunes. It was a lounge, and all the superstars came in for overnight performances. He's back in town. He's performing in Frank the Man, the Music, at the Palazzo, Venetian Palazzo Theater. And he is Bob Anderson, a good friend of ours, so he will be up. But first, it's Josh Bell with Movies, so stick around. I know we will.
This is Lara Priester, a beautiful, glamorous showgirl with Jubilee, and you're listening to Cats with a Dish.
Wow, that was thorough. Find any polyps up there?
He's the one.
What one?
Our evaluator, sent to decide if we are to be franchise or footnote.
What's your evidence?
The nose, Mrs. Donnelly.
Oh, right. So that's bollocks then.
That's Dev Patel and Maggie Smith in The Second Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, the sequel to the 2012 surprise hit. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Nearly all of the characters return for the continuing story of a ramshackle retirement home for British pensioners in India. The storylines are mostly half-hearted, centered on the romantic couplings that blossomed in the previous movie. The talented actors make the experience pleasant enough, even if it drags on for too long. But overall, it's the cinematic equivalent of warm oatmeal. It goes down easy, but it has almost no flavor. I give The Second Best Exotic Marigold Hotel 2.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week in limited release at the Regal Village Square is the vampire mockumentary What We Do in the Shadows, from Flight of the Conchords collaborators Jemaine Clement and Taika Waititi. They bring a familiar, understated, deadpan humor to the story of three vampires who live together in a rundown house in Wellington, New Zealand. Clement and Waititi exhaust a lot of the potential of their one-joke premise fairly quickly, and the movie gets bogged down with far more plot than is necessary for what is essentially an extended comedy sketch. Even when the laughs get less frequent, though, they continue through to the end with plenty of quotable lines. I give What We Do in the Shadows 3 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is the man behind Frank the Man, the Music, the tribute to Frank Sinatra being staged at the Palazzo on the Las Vegas Strip. The show is a full-scale adaptation of Sinatra's music, complete with a 32-piece orchestra and a complete makeover that is astonishing by the star of the show. He's sitting with us now, the great Bob Anderson. Bob, thanks for coming in.
Yay!
Wow, what a pleasure it is. You know how many times I've been in this studio over the years?
I don't know.
Many? Well, I haven't counted them, but there's been an awful lot of times.
At UNLV?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Where we are now.
But this is going to be your favorite.
Oh, no, of course.
Your favorite time.
Of course.
Okay,
of course.
We talked about going to the show a few weeks ago. We talked all about you and how, obviously, I met you years and years and years ago at the Stardust.
Yes.
When we were both 12. Yeah. Walked down. I had not seen you in so many years. And you walked down on stage. And I was like, when's Bob Anderson coming out? Like, because you are completely transformed into Frank Sinatra. What goes into making you visually become Frank Sinatra?
It's a combination of things. Certainly, when Kazu Tsuji, who did the makeup for me to start with, told me, he said, Bob, when you come back, I want you to bring your clothes that you're going to wear on the show. First time when he put it on, he said, I'm going to put it on you with no mirrors in the room, and then I'm going to take you in another room that's all mirrors. And he said, then he's going to freak you out. And that's what he did. And I walked in there, and it was amazing because I couldn't see me at all. And he said that that really helps the stars that he does, the actors and things, to become the character. The more that they see it, the more they believe and they feel that it's it. And that's what happens to me. When I'm downstairs and I start putting the makeup on, he puts it on me. Well, now a guy named Ron Wild is putting it on here. And you start to feel, you know, like you're getting into the character, and the more that you're there, and then Tux comes on and the whole thing, and then pretty soon you're snapping your fingers and you're acting like cats over here, and you know you're thinking you're Sinatra. But then I got a long walk. See, then I got a long hallway to walk down to go up the steps. So when I get down there, I get into it. I really get into an emotional thing and start walking, and I start singing, each place I go, only the lonely go. And I'm walking down the hall, and I get into the character. And then, of course, when you walk upstairs, when I walk on stage and I see that orchestra, you know, so it's all of those components that are put together that really make it happen.
Why did you decide to, or why did your producers or investors decide to go this route to do the full makeup? Because you're so effective as a vocal impressionist. That's how we know you here.
Yes.
You don't have to do it. And you're spending an inordinate amount of time doing it. Kazu spent, I think, 3 hours a night. I saw you do it, and maybe that's you shave right. Some time off it now with Ron. But why is it insistent upon you to do this?
Okay, well, it wasn't. It was my idea. The investors and the producer had nothing to do with it. Because I brought them on after I had put all this stuff together, and then I said, okay, now I need some people to fund this, mm-hmm. and you know, and I'm going to hire a producer to work with me and stuff. But I had all the stuff put together. I went to. This is funny that you would ask that, because about a month ago, I went to go see Tony Bennett. He was doing some symphony thing, and he looked at the thing, and he looks at the paper or the picture, and he goes, you know, this is really great. He said, this, you know, there's no question about it here. This looks just like, I mean, this is, the guy does wonderful work, but let me ask you something. Why are you doing him and not me? That's the first thing he said. But then he said, John, to get to your point, he said, when you do me, he says, listen, I don't want you to wear the makeup. He says, because people who know you, they see that you transform into that person. He said, mm-hmm. and your face becomes there. And I don't care if it's Tony Bennett or Sammy Davis Jr. or Dean Martin or, you know, anybody, or Tom Jones. But, you know.
If you can see visually what's happening, everybody with his face right now, he's turning into all of them in a matter of seconds.
Well, you know, that's what it is. And,
but anyway, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So, and Bennett says, you know, when you wear that makeup, they don't really see what's happening behind it. And the thing, he said, your gestures and your face, so he said, leave it off for me. However, I really like the makeup now, because Ron Wild took about 8 years off of he lowered the age of what Kazu did. Kazu took me from a different period, and I'm feeling much better. I lost a few pounds of stuff and become thinner. And now we're doing Sinatra about when he's about 57, 58 years old.
And before he was in his?
Well, he was 65. 50s. Yeah, mm-hmm. He was over there at Caesar's Palace.
Right. And I know that Kazu was very meticulous. His work is primarily in film, as we know.
Yes.
Norbit, Benjamin Button movie, Planet of the Apes, all that kind
Planet
of stuff.
Planet of the Apes.
Very detailed.
Eddie Murphy, Nutty Professor, all that stuff. Yeah,
very detailed.
Yeah.
And where you don't necessarily need all that detail when you're on a stage in front, you know, and you're several feet away from the nearest, audience member. They aren't that close. Is that where Ron has made up the time?
That is exactly where he's made up the time. Johnny Thompson, who's a great magician, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff. Johnny was the one who called me and said, Bob, let me tell you what. You're wearing that makeup. It's taking you 3 hours to put on. You're going to be burned out in 2 weeks. You're not going to do it anymore. You're going to be all done. And I realized he was right. So he said, I got a guy that will do this. You need somebody that does stage makeup, you know, for theaters and stuff. And the look is phenomenal.
It looks
fantastic. Oh, it's fantastic. I get people, I can get up real close now. I can actually walk through. I walked through the casino the other day. When I came back from the Thomas and Mack thing,
mm-hmm.
Tarkanian thing, yes.
I walked in the casino and I was in a limo. So I said, watch this, you guys. And I got out of the limo and there was people all around us. And I got out in tuxedo and everything, and I was Sinatra. And they all looked at me like, holy cow. And I walked into the casino and people were coming up to me, wanting their pictures taken. And I didn't feel like I was over made up with Ron's thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really works, and it transforms me right into the character.
Well, I have to tell you that the night that we saw the show, the front table, I believe thought that you were actually Frank Sinatra. These women
yeah.
were insane, and they literally thought that you were Frank Sinatra. And the beautiful thing is no matter what was happening in the audience, you never broke character. I mean, you never became Bob Anderson once throughout the entire performance, which even when people were, you know, addressing you from the audience, you stayed as Sinatra. It was such a such like a method acting type of an experiment to watch of a show, because you really are Frank from the moment you're there to the moment you leave.
Well, it's very nice of you, because that's the goal. That's what I'm trying to do. I said when I was going to do this that it was going to be an authentic reenactment is what I was going to do. The thing, and I say it every chance I get, I want to really make it very clear to people that this is not a tribute show, and it's not a Rat Pack show. It's nothing like that at all. I never even mentioned Sammy and Dean or Marilyn Monroe. It's really a sincere, but it is a tribute from me, a sincere tribute to the greatest singer of the 20th century. But it's a reenactment of Sinatra, a theatrical production and a reenactment of him. And I'm trying to... I don't use any caricature. I just try to don't do any more than what it takes just to be him, and that's it. You know, but now what I'm doing is I'm talking a lot more on stage, and I'm finding out that the people, when they come to the show, they don't. You can't just stand up there and sing song after song. You have to be the guy. You got to be. Yeah. They want his personality, don't they?
Right.
So now people are yelling stuff out to me, and I'm responding to them, and we're talking, and I added a lot of dialogue into things to make it more authentic. You know, one of the things, John, that you saw when I was there, I was talking about that when I do the recording studio thing. Mm-hmm. That the other one before that, I talk about the fact that this used to be the Sands Hotel, you know, and where it's sitting right now, and the Copa Room is sitting there and everything, and I tie that into the fact that it's where you're sitting now is really hallowed ground. And when you come to the entertainment world, there was more, you know, Wayne worked there forever too for Grandpa.
Howard Hughes?
For Howard Hughes. But, yeah. Oh, man, what was the entertainment director's name? It was like his grandfather.
Walter Kane.
Walter Kane, yes. He took Wayne under his wing, boy, forever. And it was so funny because just to change the subject for a second, they had three properties there. They had the Sands, they had the Desert Inn, they had the Frontier. And they had a handful of performers that would get in line there, and they would go from one to the other. It would be Robert Goulet and Paul Anka or Sammy Davis Jr. and Wayne Newton, and they would just work 2 weeks there. Then they'd go to the next hotel, then go to the next hotel. And they just kept going like that for like a whole year, you know, with Walter. And it was just... those were just such wonderful, wonderful times when you could see people like that every night. What I'm trying to do with this show here is to let the people who have never seen anything like Sinatra perform, didn't have that opportunity, or other artists even like him, to go back to circa 1965 and see what the entertainment business was like. You can come into there and sit down and say, okay, leave your world of high-tech gadgetry and stuff behind, come in and sit down, and when the overture starts and the Venetian drape starts to raise, I've seen people, I'm standing in the back looking out at the crowd, and they're looking at each other like, what is this? Because this is nothing they have never seen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's rare to see live orchestra these days.
Especially on a stage. Yeah. On the stage. Yeah.
Yeah. And we tried to embellish it with a set that was kind of like reminiscent of the old nightclubs and supper clubs, like from the Ambassador East or the Plaza Hotel in New York or the Waldorf. So we're really trying to take you back and experience an evening unlike any other today. And it's with that band, you know, we have all the original charts that he gave to Vince.
Vince Falcone.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he gave Vince. MD today. Yeah,
absolutely.
Now.
Yeah, and he was with Sinatra for over 10 years. And Frank, when he left, he said, or when he was retired, he said, Vinny, here's about 60 charts. Take these.
Wow.
And all the music, that's another thing that gets me to the part. I go up there on stage and I read it, and Frank's name is on all the music. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
That's
I mean, everything around me that we surrounded it is an embellishment for me. It just helps me to create the character and be in it.
Well, I likened it to not saying a tribute or anything like that. It's more like performance art.
That's right.
It's how I looked at it. It's a Broadway theater piece.
I looked at it like it was performance art.
That it was complete. You're completely immersed in that world. And I almost wish that they would have a picture of you for the people that don't, that haven't seen you before. Uh-huh. That when you walk in, like there's, you have like two side by side, so people can really understand that
the transformation
that is taking place. I mean, you literally become Sinatra now. Has his family, has Barbara Ann or anybody come to see the show?
No, Barbara has not. But
yeah, what is that relationship?
She would
like
be
right now?
Well. You know, I could tell you something that's really funny and. You know, I went to the Sinatras. We approached them about getting involved with this here, and I expected what they said. They didn't want to do that. You know, they just want to keep it for themselves and stuff. But I wanted to go ahead and do it. And people are saying, well, how can you do it without the Sinatra, you know, approval and stuff? Well, you can do it. You know, if you don't do any trademark or copyright things. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go straight ahead. And in my show, I never mention the fact that I'm Frank Sinatra.
Yes.
I never show a picture. I never show a video. We never do anything. You just assume it when we come out.
And it's also that it's kind of a wink endorsement. I mean, it's not a formal endorsement. It's a tacit saying, okay, we're all right with it. We're not going to formally endorse it, but you're not doing anything that's offending us either. It's kind of that middle ground with the family, as I understand it, right? They may not give you formal approval and licensing rights.
But they're not going to
come in and sue you over it either.
No, right? I don't think they will, because they have sued three different people in the past and they lost all three times. So,
it's hard to sue people in Las Vegas for doing this.
you know, Mark Trottos is really good.
I was just going to say.
He's good at winning this.
I talked to him the other day about some of this stuff.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Not about your show, but in general.
Okay, well,
it's hard to win this case. I know that. Well, I know enough about it.
It is. Yeah, sure you do. And but, you know, Nancy started me in the business.
Yeah.
And the thing that I really tried to convey to them and stuff, and other people I've talked to him, Jack Jones and Tony Bennett and people, and said, you know, what he's doing there is you know, it's a sincere thing. It's really
it's not, it's nothing's hokey, nothing's over the top, nothing's a caricature of anything.
No.
I mean, it is beautiful. I mean, it really is.
Oh, I mean, that's really sweet. People asked me, said, are you going to change the music around? Will you change different songs and stuff? We've already changed three because. We want to change it up too and things. And I know that there's people that have already come back and they said, Bob, this is the second time we've been back, and we're happy that you changed a couple of things. I like to do that. Yeah,
Let me ask you, Bob. You know, this is a top shelf production. I will say that there's no better way to evoke the image and resurrect the image of what Frank Sinatra meant artistically or in culture. Than what you're doing, but it's still a challenge to sell tickets in Las Vegas, no matter how great you are. We saw a show in this very hotel; it was the Venetian that Clinton Holmes was in front of, the George on My Mind show. Same type of thing. Take Six on stage with him, Nina Freeman.
Fabulous show.
Absolutely terrific.
Yes.
Terrifically executed.
The choir, the whole thing.
Las Vegas Mass Choir on stage. It was fantastic.
I agree with you.
And it was cut short. And when that happened, when the run was cut short, I started getting questions. I started asking myself, too, what is going to happen with Bob?
Right.
When he brings Frank Sinatra in, what is happening with Bob when you bring Frank
Sinatra
in?
Well, here's what happens when you come in there. There are certain levels, things you have to reach. Before, and then they have options to say, you know, you haven't reached that. Now they can say, but we like your show and we believe it's going to, and it's taking some time to grow. So we're going to extend you and keep going. But that's how all the contracts are today in the hotels. Nobody comes in with an open-ended contract. If the hotel, they control that and they say, because I don't blame them. If the show isn't making it, they want you out.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. But what's happening with us right now, we have a tremendous amount of future tickets sold. We have, close to like $400,000 worth of tickets already sold for the future bookings here at the hotel. So what we've done now, we have just been extended. The first thing was up in the 1st of April, but now we've extended through the end of June.
Okay.
You're selling tickets through the end of June?
Yeah.
What about the change in hierarchy that just happened over there? Because John Caparello is a big fan of the show. The president is outgoing. He's leaving. We've got George Marcantonis coming in. to the Venetian Palazzo as the overlord.
John, you know more than I do.
Have you talked to him yet?
No, I have not. Where did
he's a Greek guy. It's a Greek sir.
Okay. Wow. So, what a drag.
Yeah. We got to warm up the new guy.
What's his name?
George Mark Antonis.
Oh, I love him.
He's awesome.
I do. I love George. George, if you're listening to this, George.
I guess it's important to hit your numbers.
Let's get them together, buddy. And have a little cocktail. Let's talk about this.
Now,
I didn't mean to spring anything new. We have written about this. This has happened. Okay. It's published.
Now, do you miss doing what you've done all these years, which is doing different doing the impressions of different people all the time instead of just sticking with one?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely, I do.
You've done Sammy, Nat King Cole, Bobby Darin, Mel Torme, Tom Jones. We saw a little bit of that. Yep. We saw a bunch of those after the show.
Yes,
it's
like you gave us our own little show. And
by the way,
great.
Folks, Label Lounge after these Frank shows at the Palazzo
you never know
is a cool hang. You got Laura Schaefer and her jazz trio in there, and it burns up. I love it.
Yeah.
And you come in there and do the whole, you did that night, not every night.
No, but we come in. And some of our musicians come in and they sit in, and stuff. And we're trying to turn it into more of a something that's more conducive to what we're doing in the showroom.
It's fun. It's definitely fun.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun. But to answer your question, the unfortunate thing is that the people that I'm doing are either all gone, or they passed, or else they're really irrelevant in today's market that they're buying acts. It's an atrocity. But when you talk to people today, many of them don't even know who Tom Jones is.
Yeah, that's scary.
That's tragic.
It is tragic. But listen, think of this for a second. When I took on Frank Sinatra, when I took on this role of Sinatra, I realized he was the most famous entertainer that ever walked on the earth. His career spanned more time than anybody. But if you think about it, Elvis Presley, you don't even hear any Elvis Presley being played anywhere unless you go to Elvis Presley Station. You don't even hear Michael Jackson being played unless you go to something like that. You don't even hear the Beatles anymore. And you hear Sinatra all the time.
Yeah.
But so I'm just saying, and those were superstars. Now, when the guys that I did, like, Mel Torme, and all those guys and Nat King Cole, it's not for me to say, all those people, which I love to do in my act. I still do them when I get like a Fortune 500 company and they have a board of directors thing.
Sure.
I go in and do that. Okay. Matter of fact, the last one I did, they flew me all the way out to an island way out in the Caribbean. And they took me in another boat and a seaplane, another boat, and I went out to a big yacht. And there was about 20 people on the boat, and I had my trio with me, and I did it out there.
Fun.
20 people.
So you still get to do that.
You do more voices than 20.
Yeah. I did. Yeah, right.
Zach, one voice per guest.
For each one.
That's what I
said.
You're the Johnny.
I said,
Johnny
you always get a request.
One. Right. You're the Tony Bennett one.
Exactly.
It's something that's just totally different that, it's different than anything in the country, for that matter. And
definitely different than everything on the strip, too. It's amazing.
Yeah. And I thank you so much for having me here on the show. I appreciate it.
We're glad to have you. The shows are Tuesdays through Saturdays at 8 p.m., aside from the Friday performances, which are at 9,
correct? That's correct. That's correct.
There's nothing quite like it. It's a wonderful night. It's a great date night, folks. Bob Anderson, and we'll have you back later in the run, okay?
Frank, the man, the music.
Frank, the man, the music.